The date from hell. Her eyes opened to a plain, white ceiling punctuated by a ceiling fan. It spun slowly, lightly pushing cooler air around her while she pondered where she might be. Events from the previous evening came into focus. Charlie. Charlie called her Monday morning, stated that he would be coming to town, and asked if she would be interested in dinner and line dancing Thursday after work. She said yes before she realized two things. First, she had a strong dislike for Charlie, and second, she had a new phone number. She was in Houston incognito. There were only a handful of people back home in Tyler who knew her new phone number, and she was sure that Charlie was one of them. But once Chloe Thompson gave her word, she would follow through with whatever she promised, even if she made that promise to Charlie. The fan on the unfamiliar ceiling continued to purr. Charlie came to her apartment complex shortly after 7 to take her to dinner. She feigned interest for an hour and a half while Charlie bragged about his accomplishments and how he was now on the fast track with her father's company now that he was going to be working out of the Houston office. Charlie loved to brag. He also loved to exaggerate. Chloe made a mental note to call Liz Torres in the morning to see if what Charlie was telling her was true. She also needed to find out how Charlie managed to get her contact information. Dinner was comparatively pleasant, although Charlie knocked back 4 beers before the end of the meal. Dancing might prove to be a problem, so Chloe suggested waiting another hour before leaving the restaurant. He balked, but compromised, walking a few blocks with her to help dissipate his alcohol intake. After a few suggestive comments and an occasional stray hand, she convinced him that maybe he'd be better off at his hotel. Alone. She would take the bus back. It ran closer to her apartment, and she would have no problem getting home. Half an hour's worth of argument later, Charlie insisted on taking her back. The suggestive comments continued for most of the drive. Charlie stopped at the rodeo mart, telling her that he was going in to buy a 6-pack and a movie rental to take back to his hotel. He parked the car with the engine running while he went inside. Chloe quickly tired of the bragging, the innuendo, and Charlie's stray hands. The moment the door to the rodeo mart closed behind him, she shimmied over to the driver's seat of the company-issued Impala sedan and headed back to the restaurant. She parked it, locked the keys inside, and then caught the bus, which would run right past the rodeo mart. What she expected to see when the bus passed the rodeo mart was Charlie outside, wondering what the hell he would be doing next. What she saw was Charlie talking to a policeman from one of 5 cruisers parked in the lot, along with a pair of ambulances, a fire truck, and yards of yellow tape. "Looks like a robbery, maybe even a killing," the bus driver remarked while he passed. A shame it wasn't Charlie, she thought. A quarter mile later, the bus changed direction, stopping at a corner bar next to a laundromat. "Last stop," the driver announced. "If you want to go into town, you'll have to pay another fare." Chloe told the driver she was waiting for her boyfriend before ducking into the laundromat and finding a corner in which to hide. The overhead fan rattled just a little. The man on the other side of the partition snorted just a little. She knew who he was. She knew where he lived. He was the pharmacist at the drugstore on the edge of the mall. He lived across the courtyard from her friend Sandy, and he was cute. He also had little idea who he was. She rolled over on their side to see if there was anything on the bedside table which would give her more of a clue as to who he might be. Christopher A. Michaels. The name on the envelope was plain enough. Chloe picked it up and read the return address. Magnolia, Ohio. I should know that, she thought. The envelope was open. It was an invitation to read the contents. Christopher, your father and I are worried about you. We know that you have worked hard to get your degree and your pharmacy license. We are also aware that you are now working hard to pay back your student loans. The recent passing of a local benefactor has left this little town of Magnolia with a legacy. Magnolia Town Council has decided that the best thing to do with the legacy is to establish a drugstore. Your father and I have suggested you come here to build and run the store for the town of Magnolia. Town Council has agreed to give you the right of first refusal to run the store, which they are now committed to build. They are aware of your student loans and have agreed to pay them in full if you come here to help us. They have also agreed to pay you a living stipend for the year it would take to get your pharmacy license transferred from Ohio. Damn! Simply damn, Chloe said quietly. She heard Christopher stir. Quickly, she put the letter back in the envelope and placed it back on the bedside table. Apparently, the stirring she heard was momentary. She rolled over to the other side of the bed, away from the bedside table, and toward the half wall dividing the sleeping area from the living area. "You should take them up on the offer," she whispered, after surveying her surroundings. He continued to snore without a hitch. She got out of bed, trying to figure out what she needed to do next. Maybe there was something about the foo-frah at the rodeo mart on the TV news. Tiptoeing around the divider to secure the television remote, Chloe encountered her host. He was naked, exposed, his junk standing at attention, obviously because of a wet dream in process. Avoiding the threat, she covered him, then turned on the television. There's a weather report. A front bringing rain was set to sweep across Texas and most of the Midwest at some point on Saturday. Someone selling the latest cure-all followed, along with pitches for an auto dealer, a bank, and the cheap furniture dealer on the south side who seemed to have enough money to sell his bargain wares on television and still make a living. Police this morning are looking for a pair of armed bandits who robbed a rodeo mart on the southwest side and killed the manager. The woman on the newscast put on a serious face. According to an eyewitness, the bandits also took a car and might have kidnapped a passenger. Just what I needed, Chloe thought. Dad and Jane are probably worried sick. The newscaster rattled off a few other details before moving on to another story. Chloe turned off the television and saw her host just opening his eyes. "Good morning," she smiled. "Good morning," he replied. She had to make a decision as to what to do with one Christopher Michaels, and she had to make that decision quickly.